This is Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, telling you to stay tuned to WNJC, 1360 AM, for Thursday in the Doghouse, coming right up.
Mama was a mutt, Daddy was one too. Me, I'm a little bit of everything, everything that I use. One day I'm walking down my...
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us here on Thursday in the Doghouse. I'm your host, Rini Primeza. And Karen, are you there?
I am here.
Okay.
I am here. I'm your host, Karen Fazio, the Dog Super Nanny.
We're here from 10 to 10:30 every Thursday morning, right here on WNJC, 1360 AM. Karen and I are professional dog trainers and behavior consultants here in New Jersey. We work with many dogs that have developed serious behavioral issues such as fearfulness, separation anxiety, aggression, and lots of other issues. Karen and I host this radio show to help our listeners better understand their dogs. We also interview other experts in this field such as veterinarians, authors, other trainers from around the United States, and even in Europe. Karen, can you give out our number so maybe people will call us?
I'd like to encourage everybody to give us a call today, or if you're listening, give us a call. The studio number here is 856-227-1360. Again, that number is 856-227-1360. And this morning, Rini and I will be chatting about when not to bring home a puppy or a newly rescued dog. And sometimes, you know, people do make huge mistakes in their, you know, timing when they decide to undertake this very time-consuming project. Also, we'll be discussing what happens when the family dog bites a toddler. And it's a very important subject, and Rini and I will be getting into that. Today's show is very important, so we hope you'll take the time to listen for the next 30 minutes. And don't forget that we have podcasts for our program, so if you miss any of the shows, you can always go to our website at www.jerseydogtrainer.com and www.thedogsupernanny.com to hear any show that might interest you. But before we get to talking, Rini would like to share some of the services that she offers in the South Jersey area.
Is your dog always in the doghouse? Does he greet people by jumping all over them? Does she chew your shoes and steal your undies? Guess what? Your dog needs training. Hi, I'm Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, and I train dogs using only positive-based methods. My services include private training right in your own home. I also offer group puppy kindergarten classes starting at 8 weeks of age and group classes for adolescent and adult dogs beginning at 5 months of age. All group classes are held at Dog Days Camp for Canines, 23 West Main Street, Marlton, New Jersey. For more information, please contact me at 609-280-9338 or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Again, that's 609-280-9338 or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com.
Welcome back to Thursday in the Doghouse. Please remember that you're always welcome to call into the show to ask Rini and I any questions that you might have about your dog, and let us know if you're having any problems that we might be able to help you with. Our number in the studio here is 856-227-1360. Again, the number is 856-227-1360. Rini, you know, before I start getting into, you know, when not to bring home a puppy, I want to ask you, I want to jump to the second subject just for a brief moment. I want to ask you, you know, dogs that bite toddlers, is that an automatic death sentence, or should that be an automatic death sentence for the dog?
No, it just all depends on the whole situation, and it needs to be evaluated by a professional very, very carefully. Did you want to continue on with this topic?
Yeah. I mean, how would you know, how would you be able to evaluate?
Well, it all depends. First of all, I mean, you want to make sure that the dog has not shown aggression to children prior to this. I mean, truthfully, if if you have a toddler or any young child in the house and your dog has shown aggression toward any children, that would be a red flag for me. I think that, you know, you would know that beforehand and should have made arrangements for the dog, possibly rehomed the dog before you had your child, which, you know, some people are just don't want to do because they're already attached to the dog. And it's understandable, but, you know, most of these cases, the dog has had no training. Nobody has been to the home and worked with the dog to see if they could change the dog's conditional emotional response to children. I mean, really, there's got to be a really serious reason why a dog would show aggression to children. Lack of socialization is one of those reasons, and I think you're going to talk a little bit about that when we talk about puppies again today.
But I want to ask you, you know, when a dog bites a kid or bites a child, you know, how does the owner assess the injury? I mean, you know,
some people
will consider, you know, the dog air snapping and they say, oh, my child was so lucky because they pulled their hand away just in time. It's my experience that there is no such thing. A dog is much quicker than a person.
Mm-hmm.
So if that dog really intended to bite, it would. But, I mean, what kind of injuries would you say would be the norm? Not that it's a good thing that dogs bite kids. I mean, obviously not.
Well, I don't
scary, but I mean, what would you consider like a very serious injury, and what would you consider, you know, a dog that's warning or, you know, is beginning to have some problems that we need? Of course, we need to get qualified help immediately.
Absolutely.
For an air snap.
Right.
I mean, how would owners of a dog be able to gauge that?
Well, let's face it. If you have a child of any age and your dog bites that child and the child needs stitches in the face, or, you know, severe contusions and rips and tears and things like that, that is definitely an emergency situation. And, you know, then we really have to make some major decisions about that dog. If it was my child, I would not want the dog to be in the home. You know, maternal instinct and parental instinct takes over no matter how attached you are to the child. Although I have to tell you, I've met some people whose dog bit their children, and even though I recommended rehoming, they refused. So, you know, I mean, it's very difficult out there. I mean, people can react from one extreme to another. The reason I wanted to touch on this subject is because it just seems like suddenly I'm getting called on these types of cases. But it doesn't automatically mean a death sentence if a dog is warning the child. Now there are situations where a dog might growl, and unfortunately, you know, too many people see that as an inappropriate behavior for the dog to growl at anybody, and it's not. I always tell my clients we have to silently thank the dog for growling because he doesn't want to bite. But yeah, hey, you're doing something that's making me feel very uncomfortable. Please stop it, or I may have no choice but to defend myself because you're doing something that I feel very threatened by. But children don't understand that, and most parents don't understand the importance of a growl. So if, let's say, the dog has growled at the child, the toddler, or let's say a 5 or 6 year old, and the dog has been corrected for doing that, we're creating a very dangerous dog. Now you have a situation where the toddler or the young child is pushing the dog past its limits. He knows that he's not allowed to growl, and so he doesn't. And then we just have a bite that seems to come out of nowhere. Well, it is coming out of somewhere, but, you know, you told your dog you're not allowed to give any warning at all.
Right. And you know what? I reward growling.
Well,
you know, that sounds crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But I do. And, you know, when I do that, I kind of work the dog backwards so that it's not as fearful. And over time, it doesn't have the necessity to growl because we're all in sync with one another. But, you know, a growling dog is, you know, that dog's being really polite.
Mm-hmm.
It's giving you a chance,
mm-hmm.
you know, saying, hey, I'm going to bite you.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
you know, but some people get really put off by it, and, you know, they're quick to smack the dog.
Right.
They
or to be very confrontational. Get in your crate, you bad dog. And so, we never, ever can forget that we have an animal living in our house who has animal instincts, and so can only behave properly when it's taught to behave properly and given the environment where the dog does feel safe, trusts the owner to make those major decisions in his life. And when we're talking about children, I mean, I just have to say we can't talk enough about supervision and prevention. So, that worries me when parents don't realize that they have to be actively supervising both their dog and their children whenever they're together. I am working on a case right now where when I heard the story, it sounded really bad. The dog had bitten her 5-year-old child behind the ear and I think on the neck because the child had gotten in the dog's face to try to get a bone away from the dog.
Oh, great.
The parents were not in the same room. And so I've been working with the dog. I've been working with the parents, and we're working with the child. And the dog is now behaving entirely differently toward that child.
Good job.
Right. I mean, I was really thrilled. But the thing is, they cannot go back to what they were doing before,
right,
and taking the dog for granted that he's going to be a perfect dog. I mean, they have a house full of rescue dogs. Not to say that, you know, that that sets them up for biting or anything like that. It's just that, you know, they don't know what the socialization history of any of those dogs were in their past lives. They all came from shelters or they were strays. But so this dog is now being very polite around the child, and we're desensitizing him to the child's movements. And the child is having a good time at it. That's what's great. The child sees, you know, we're creating little games for the child to play with the mom and the dad, which builds his importance up in the home toward, with the dog.
Right.
So that's working out well. So, but it, you know, here, any time that parents just allow freedom for the dog to be in any room with the child while the parents are distracted and doing things that, you know, are important to them during the day, problems can happen. Dogs don't deal well with childish behaviors like pulling tails and ears. The other case I got this week to work on is that they have a 1.5-year-old son who is grabbing the dog's nose and squeezing it.
Oy.
Right. So they never thought of that as being an inappropriate behavior. Well, why wouldn't it be? It hurts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what kind of expectations are the parents having of this dog, allowing the child to do his own thing and expecting the dog to deal with it? It's wrong. So, you know, these are major issues, and that's why I say, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that a dog needs to be euthanized. Sometimes, you know, without euthanasia, I mean, a dog can be rehomed to another home without children. I'll tell you the other red flag that gets raised when I hear history of the family situation, Karen, is when they call me and they'll say that the dog is starting to show aggression toward their toddler or their younger child. And I'll say, well, you know, what was the behavior of the dog prior to the bite? Well, everything was fine. He basically ignored the kids. He never really bothered with the kids, so everything was great.
No.
Well, guess what? It's not. You know, a dog ignores somebody, it means they kind of want to pretend that that person isn't there or that other dog isn't there. You know, ignoring is a red flag. So some kinds of emotions are going on there, and we need to, you know, we need to intercede and work with the dog to make sure that, you know, he's not seeing that child as a negative in his life.
Right. Well, so, you have Rini Permaz's phone number if you have any problems with your dogs, and you need a trainer in the South Jersey area.
Can I give that out, Karen?
Just to tell you about my services.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Are you the owner of a fearful or aggressive dog and don't know where to turn? Have you called other trainers and they've turned you down because they don't want to deal with an aggression case? Then My Best Friend Dog Training and its special service, the Dog Super Nanny, is maybe just what you're looking for. We do in-home private consultations. We're located in Keyport, New Jersey, and we do travel. Our phone number is 732-533-9376, and our website is mybestfrienddogschool.com. We are positive-based trainers and don't use physical punishment or fear as a way to motivate your dog. We use games and fun as a way to do that, and we also help you during the whole process. So give us a call. We're here for you. 732-533-9376.
Welcome back to Thursday in the Doghouse. I'm Rini Premeza, your co-host here on WNJC 1360 AM. And Karen Fazio is here. She's the dog super nanny. We're hosting this show, and we do every single week, every Thursday morning from 10 to 10:30. We've been talking about dog bites in the home when a dog bites a toddler. Not a good situation. And Karen would like to discuss a topic this morning on when is the worst time to bring a puppy or a rescue dog into the home.
Well, Rainey, it's not, you know, it's like, when is the worst time and why is it a bad decision?
Mm-hmm.
So it could be a puppy, it could be a shelter dog, it could be an adult dog. But these are my top five reasons not to get a dog, okay?
Mm-hmm. Right.
One, you have a brand new baby. Your wife or you just gave birth and, you know, you're thinking, wow, it's a great idea. Let's get a puppy, you know, the first week that we have the baby home.
That's right.
Bad decision, okay?
Very bad. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's bad enough that you have to raise a puppy. It's very, very difficult. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you got mouthing and house soiling issues. And believe me, you are not going to be able to take care of both. And by the time the dog is a year old, if you are not a divorce attorney, I give you a lot of credit. My second top reason is you just got the job of your lifetime and it has lots of hours. The upside of that is that you might have more money to spend, and so you think, oh, I can finally get the dog that I want, you know, but, you know, you got to realize the dog's going to be home the majority of the day. So, you know, while you're out pursuing your career, and you should, your dog is, you know, languishing at home, not a good idea. Another idea is, you know, my third issue is you're getting your first apartment. You know, you've been maybe living with your parents or, you know, living together with, you know, friends or whatever, and you decide, oh, I'm finally on my own. I think I'm going to go get a dog. Bad decision.
Mm-hmm.
If you have lots of time and you're home, you know, if you stay at home in the apartment, that's fine. But, you know, the majority of people are out working and busy and doing things, and you got people living above you, maybe people living below you. And, you know, if your dog's barking, it's going to be a nuisance. It's really not going to be a fun experience for you. My fourth reason is to keep another dog busy. You do not buy a new dog or a puppy or adopt a shelter dog to keep another dog that's destructive or has behavioral problems or high energy levels to keep that dog busy. Because you know what? Now you have two problems instead of one. And my fifth reason is you want to buy an alarm system. So you're out going out, you're shopping for German Shepherds and Rottweilers and Pit Bulls because you maybe not live in a safe area or you're uncomfortable with your own safety concerns, and so you decide, you know, I'm going to go get a dog to protect me. Bad decision.
Mm-hmm.
So these are my top five reasons not to get a dog and when not to bring a puppy into your home. But maybe we can discuss a little bit more. What are your
Well,
your,
I have a question for you. I have a question for you, Karen.
Sure.
Your last issue, you said don't get a dog as an alarm system. You don't want to get a dog to protect you.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain that further?
Well, you know what? I mean, we have most of the breeds that I consider the victims. The victims are the German Shepherds, the Rottweilers, the Akitas, the Pit Bulls. You know, these dogs, because they have a reputation of being tough,
mm-hmm.
People go out and they buy them and they raise them poorly, and they're very happy when the dog is, you know, barking at people passing the house and everything. But you know what? When you're doing that, one, how is this dog supposed to know who's friendly coming into your house and who is dangerous? Mm-hmm. I mean, the dog can't make that differentiation. And the other thing is who wants to feel like that? Who wants to be given that job to protect everybody?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if that was the case, everybody in this country would be joining the armed forces. You know, and we're not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a dangerous job, and to give it to a species and say, okay, I want you to take care of this other species, it's insane. And it's a burden for the dog, and it's a burden on the community as a whole, because most of these dogs end up dangerous.
Well, here's my take on this.
Mm-hmm.
We get some dogs, you know, we have a lot of breeds of dogs, the ones that you've mentioned, who already have protective instincts.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be protective anyway.
Right.
If we add to that job and we reinforce the dog for being protective, what happens is the dog becomes overly protective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we can create a monster by doing that. So when I work with dogs like Rottweilers, Dobermans, Shepherds, and people tell me, I like when my dog barks at the door, well, that's fine, but you need to have an off switch.
Mm-hmm.
You need to let the dog know, okay, you're alerting me, I'm going to check it out. And I'm going to tell you, okay, I'm now taking over, and
right.
It's safe for that person to come inside.
Right.
And your job is done. You don't have to continue monitoring the situation. You don't have to stalk the person, and you don't have to continue barking at them.
Right.
So the dog has to get that information from you. And you mentioned, how does the dog know who friend and foe is? They know because when they're socialized correctly, you know, they've met tons and tons of different people.
Exactly.
And so they know that people are a good thing. And I think these dogs have tremendous instinct to know who isn't a good person. They, you know, I always trust the judgment of a well-socialized dog. I think they're pretty good judges of character without having to reinforce that protective instinct. They already have it.
You know, it's funny that you say that because I have a German Shepherd, and he just loves all people.
That's
it
great.
It doesn't matter who they are.
Mm-hmm.
They could be tall, skinny, white, black, repairmen, kids walking down the street, you know, with their pants hanging down. I mean, it doesn't matter who they are. He loves kids. And, you know, one day this guy came walking up the street, and he just stopped
mm-hmm.
and was staring forward.
At
the
dog? He
was sitting on the lawn, me and my shepherd, we were hanging out, and this guy just starts staring at us for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was really weird behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And for the first time in my dog's life, he got up and stood up and started growling at the guy.
Okay.
You know, and I asked him, could you please move along?
Mm. Oh, good
and,
for you.
And he did move along, but, I mean, I felt really weird, and my dog picked up on the fact that this behavior was really bizarre.
Yeah.
He didn't do anything, of course, but he got nervous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that goes to show you, and I never trained my dog to be like that, ever.
Right.
So he has that instinct. Situation said, this person's acting really weird.
Yeah.
It's strange, and I think he needs to get out of here.
Yeah. You know, I want to add something to your list of issues. I don't know how often this happens to you, but I'm called in to work with a puppy, or somebody calls me because they want to take the puppy and put him into my puppy classes. That's great. Good news. But then they tell me, you know, we're going on vacation in 2 weeks. And that just throws me into a tizzy.
Yeah, I know. I get that, too.
What
we
is that?
We've got a brand new puppy, but we're
going
to be
for 2 weeks.
In Europe for a month.
Right, right. And I say,
right.
Well, where's your dog going to go? Oh, well, there's a kennel down the street. I thought I would put the puppy in there.
Oh, yeah.
Really? I don't think so. You know, so... Geez, do your research and be careful about when you bring these puppies into the home, you know? I mean, they require so much. And if everything that is, you know, is on the list of things to do with puppies isn't done, you have deficits. You have socialization deficits. You have deficits where you haven't trained your dog to inhibit the pressure he's using when he play bites. That's very important. We talked about that, by the way, last week. Remember, Karen?
Yeah.
We talked about that bite that an anchor woman got from a very large dog who delivered a very uninhibited bite, but could have been worse because she got in his face. So, you know, so with puppies, it's very important that you do these things and you train the dog and you socialize the dog around children. That's the other issue, too, with dogs biting toddlers and young children, Karen, is it could be very possibly lack of socialization around that age group.
That's usually the number one cause.
Yeah, and even though, like I'm working with several clients now who are pregnant. They're expecting a child, and they want their dog to get acclimated to this, but some of these dogs have not been around children before, so it's kind of scary, and I'm a little concerned myself because, you know, the mom is already starting to anticipate that there could be problems, and so as soon as she walks through that door, that protective instinct that she's going to have about her baby is going to kick in, and the dog's not going to recognize that behavior from her. You know, it's like all of a sudden
really
now I'm
out of plane.
Oh, right, right. So it gets very complicated out there sometimes. It really does.
You know, that's a subject that we really need to discuss on the air. Maybe we could come up with a show in the future for expectant parents.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's an
How to safely, you know, introduce your baby to the dog. Because there's so many misconceptions out there. You know, some people bring home the blanket from the baby's, you know, nursery and puts it in with the dog's bed. And some people present their baby to their dog. I mean, there's not a species on the planet that presents their young to another species.
Right, right.
It's very bizarre. Mm-hmm. I don't know whoever came up with that concept.
Yeah. Well, there is an expert in that area, and maybe, you know, we can invite her to come on as a guest. Her name is Jennifer Shryock, and she has a wonderful website, and she has a terrific program called Dogs and Storks. And her website, if you'll let me give it out, is www.familypaws.com, family and then paws.com. And she's a great person to contact, too, if you need some help. I mean, other than Karen and I, who can certainly help you. But this Dogs and Storks program is an excellent excellent and informative program. And she's got a CD out that she sends to people. She's a great person, and she's done an awful lot of good, you know, for the dogs and the families since she's, you know, been doing this for at least 10 years now, I think.
Well, speaking of gas and speaking of behavioral problems, you know, anytime your dog has a behavioral problem, if he's snapping at people out of the ordinary, he starts to soil the house after he's been housebroken, barking, starts chewing things up, whatever the behavior is, it's always a good idea to report that behavior to your vet. And next week, we're going to be speaking with a veterinarian from the North Star Veterinary Hospital in South Jersey. Her name is Dr. Anderson.
Okay.
And she's going to be discussing with us what clients should really be talking to their vet about. And I think it's a great subject because most people, including myself, we go into the vet with all these questions.
Mm-hmm.
And then we let the vet lead the whole exam.
Mm-hmm.
And we're listening to what they say, and quite often, you're not really given the input that you need,
mm-hmm.
and Dr. Anderson gives people that opportunity to speak,
right?
And she calls them back on the phone, and she really is a big believer in communication.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be speaking with her next week.
Great. Is she savvy in behavior problems also?
Yes.
That's wonderful.
Very much so.
Good. I look forward to that.
Right. But you know what? Before we get going, we only have a couple of, I think we have another minute left.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about the training philosophies?
Listen, we're positive trainers. We use motivational methods to train our dogs by rewarding them when they do the right thing. I know that I don't set my dog up for failure by creating sting operations, which would make the dog do the behavior that I don't want so that I can correct them. So that's more of a traditional training method. I don't do that. I know you don't do that.
No.
You know, a lot of people will say there's, you know, you have to have all kinds of tools in your toolbox, but I don't have any tools in my toolbox that cause intimidation or pain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but we don't spoil dogs. We set rules. And so we can go into that, too, at another time. Yep. And we have talked about that, you know, in many shows about how to set rules. Well, guys, we have to sign off. I hope you enjoyed our show. Please tune in again next week from 10 to 10:30 to Thursday in the Doghouse right here on WNJC, 1360 AM. And I hope you all have a great week and get out and enjoy your dogs.
Have a good weekend.
Bye.
I'm glad you're home, but where you